in how he responded. But before we get to his story, I would just like to ask you, let's just say we're going to talk about discipleship today, okay? Very simply, if you've been reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to find Jesus training disciples. So, what is a disciple? Let me read you. The Cambridge Dictionary says this: a person who believes in the ideas and principles of someone famous and tries to live the way that person does or did. That's pretty good. I like the next one a little better. Someone who adheres to the teachings of another. It is a follower or learner. It refers to someone who takes up the ways of someone else. And in a practical sense, every Christian who is a disciple or wants to be a disciple, we should be little Jesus. Think about that. We should be little Jesus. Think about that. All right, do we have any examples that we can look to of people who were disciples? Well, if you've been reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find two of them that were disciples, Matthew and John, okay? And they give us some insights into what it is like to follow Jesus and to watch what he did and to listen to his teaching. So is there any other that we could go to? Well, there was a man that lived a little bit later than what Jesus did that we're going to look at pretty extensively today, and his name was Paul, the Apostle Paul. Was he a real disciple? In the concept like we were, because chances are he might have seen Jesus, but he wasn't following him while he was here on the earth. So somehow or another, Paul got a hold of Jesus and he began following Jesus. So from what you know of Paul, was he a disciple of Jesus? Everybody would say yes. Well, a few minutes ago, we sang a song that pretty much gives you his insight into Jesus. And that song was a interpretation of something that Paul wrote, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, and we'll read that. Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's from the Apostle Paul, and it gives a good snapshot. Simply stated, Paul says that he has chosen to die to himself, and he has chosen to allow Jesus to live his life through him. Now, that choice is a big thing. Did Paul have control over the things that he did? Of course. Just like we do. But Paul chose to die to himself and to let Jesus live through him. So I really think Paul was a disciple. What he's talking about there is an example of what's called the exchanged life. Ours for his. For Paul, the life, the teachings of Jesus, the methods of Jesus were so important, now get this, were so important to him that he allowed the lives and teachings of Jesus to possess him. I use that word on purpose. I didn't say allow them to affect him. He allowed the life and teaching of Jesus to possess him. What that means, something went on the inside, and Paul is gone, and there's somebody else was there. And that was Jesus. To me, that's a real disciple. But did Paul really live like a disciple of Jesus? Well, we're going to read that in just a second, but first let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help us to understand as we look at the Apostle Paul and listen once again to the teachings of Jesus to get our heads around discipleship. Really, that's what Christians should be about. Not all this other stuff that's supposed to be Christianity. We're supposed to be disciples of Jesus. And in reality, we're supposed to choose to be dead to ourselves and choose to allow Jesus to live through us. Help us to better understand that today. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul gives us some reflection on how important Jesus was to him. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He had just come to the people at Corinth, and this is what he taught. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. We could stop right there. Does that tell you what Christianity is all about? Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, with those words in mind, let's talk about a couple of things with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was not a man that was prone to being weak and afraid. This was a new thing for him. I mean, after all, before he came to Jesus, he pursued Christians, threw them into prison, and he was even known as breathing out threats of murder against Christ's followers. So this guy is no weakling. He's a very powerful person. However, he comes to the Corinthians in weakness, fear, and trembling. What happened? Secondly, he was a highly educated man. Remember, he said that he didn't come with impressive words of humans. But what we got to keep in mind, this man, Paul, he knew multiple languages. He was a much respected Pharisee, and I don't know if you know it or not, but it takes a heck of a lot of work to be a Pharisee. Anybody here good at memorization? If you do any research into a Pharisee, Pharisees or boys that are growing up to be Pharisees, they got to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible by the time they're about 12 years old. Don't ask me to do that. But he's a highly intelligent man, highly educated. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, which is one of the best teachers of Jewish law ever to live. And Paul is this man. But here, he comes to teach in the Corinthians with the simple truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. What happened to him? What happened to his intellect? Did he find something better? You see, for Paul, Jesus was his message, and that message was presented in humility. which is a vast difference from what he was before. So what changed the fire-breathing Pharisee to the weeping disciple of Jesus? Well, first of all, let's look at this fire-breathing Pharisee. Was he really all that powerful? Was he really all that good? Well, go with me to Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. We're going to keep building up this guy who was originally named Saul. Paul speaks of himself, "For we are the circumcision, we worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." Now watch closely. "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also." If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. In other words, well, let's let him explain. He was circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. Now get this one, as to righteous under the law, blameless. Well, we all know that nobody can live perfectly the law of God, but if you can't live perfectly, the Apostle Paul was as close to perfection as a Jew as you can find. He was the best of the best. And then he met Jesus. And you know the story. He was on the road to Damascus. He was confronted by Jesus. He was blinded. He goes and hides, waiting for instruction. A Christian comes along, prays for him, heals him from his blindness. And we know all of those things. But there was something about him that we don't often talk about. After he was healed of his blindness, Galatians chapter 1 tells us that Paul went to a place called Arabia for 3 years. Immediately after his conversion, he goes into Arabia for 3 years. Now, he didn't run off to Jerusalem to sit at the feet of the disciples. He goes to Arabia for 3 years. Why? Think about it. Why? Well, the truth is, we don't know. I did a lot of research into why he went to Arabia, and Ken, I'm sure you probably looked that up yourself. And there is no plausible reason and no explanation why Paul went to Arabia. So I'm going to ask for a little leeway on your part today, all right? Can I give you Tony's opinion? I'm going to give you Tony's opinion, all right? So this is not divine scripture. This is Tony's opinion. I believe when the Apostle Paul discovered that Jesus was real and he was actually who he said he was a broken man. He found out, this Pharisee of the Pharisees, he found out that the things that he believed and he taught were dead wrong. Everything he was doing was wrong. He had to turn and go the other direction. And he didn't know where to go or what to do. What would you do if you were confronted with that? If it were me, I would do my best to find some time by myself to where I could sit down and think. I would have to get my head around this. Now, Paul believed in God, so I'm sure there was a lot of conversations going on between him and God. And I'm sure the Apostle Paul went back to the Hebrew text and he searched the whole text looking for references to Jesus. And, you know, I bet he found them too. He went through and he found everything there about Jesus. He spent 3 years cleaning out the old him and asking God to guide him. So this mighty Apostle Paul that we all know of, he probably went through, notice I said probably, this is Tony's opinion, he probably went through 3 years of searching and working things out. And then, when he decided to come back on the scene, he started into a church planting ministry that changed the world. Matter of fact, this Apostle Paul, who came back and started his ministry, there's a good chance most of us are Christians today because of his work. Would everybody agree with that? This one man. So let me ask you, do you think he was a disciple of Jesus? And I bet during that time when he was trying to figure it out, he figured it all out. He was searching for everybody who had anything to say about Jesus, and he would ask them and learn from them, who is this guy that I have missed? And when he got it all straight, he come back and re-engaged. But do we really know what he's thinking? Well, we really do, because he tells us. I want you to look, go with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7, and we're going to look at a self-assessment that Paul gives of himself. You ready? Paul's self-assessment. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7, he says, but whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss for the sake of Christ. Everything about him, his education, his training, his position in the community, folks, his family, everything about him was laid aside for one passionate reason. And that one passionate reason was Jesus. He continues. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He even gets a little stronger, and if you're reading the King James, it's quite a bit more powerful. It said, for this his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. I think the King James says dung. You get the point? So the Apostle Paul took all of his previous life, all of his achievements, and pretty much counted them as wasted time. Rubbish. Why? In order that I may gain Christ. Does that sound like a disciple? Yeah. From what we can see, there is nothing else in the mind and heart of the Apostle Paul except Jesus, not even family. Now, I said that, not even family. Let me explain. The Apostle Paul said he was the son of a Pharisee. So he was a member of a devout Jewish family. Can you imagine what happened in his family when he decided to follow Jesus? Can you just imagine? I'm sure there wasn't anything nice going on. I'm sure the conflict was raging because you've got a devout Jewish family about somebody who has just dumped all of his Judaism and followed the opposition. What do you think? But you see, the Apostle Paul had only one burning desire, and that was to learn Jesus. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He says, this is what drives me, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. But it's all around one thing, that I may know him. True disciple? Are you guys beginning to get an idea of what a disciple is? If you think of all the disciples that followed Jesus, they were passionate people, and history tells us that they were spread out all over the known world there, and every single one of them gave their life for their testimony, except for one, and that was John, and he was banished to Patmos. That's a disciple. So what happened to Paul? Let's just review. First, he met Jesus. Second, he found out what Jesus taught. Third, he brought his life in line with what Jesus says. So what is it that Jesus may have said that had such an effect on his exchange life? Let me read you what I think. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39. Listen to Jesus. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I'm not going to sugarcoat what Jesus just said. It sure sounds to me like total dedication is his goal. What do you think? Do you think Paul lived that way? You really think Paul lived that way? Well, remember he wrote the words, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. He was a disciple. And we sing that song regularly. Do we have any more true disciples that we could look at? Well, I want to look at one more, which is a hero of my hero in the faith. He's called Hudson Taylor. An English boy, he grew up. When he became a teenager, he turned his back on the teaching of his Christian parents and walked away and started pursuing a career and making money. Then one day, he was in his father's library. He read a gospel tract and Jesus got a hold of his heart. He gets saved. He begins following Jesus, and then all of a sudden, he is burdened. He gives up his feather bed for a hard mattress. Why would he do that? Well, let me continue. He goes and he starts working among the poorest of the poor in England, which at that time it was extremely poor. And God burdened him to give every speck of his money to a family of a dying man. He had nothing, and yet he gave it. Disciple? And then God burdened him to be a missionary to China. And to go to so far as to go against English tradition and start wearing a ponytail and Chinese clothes. The good society didn't accept that too well. But do you think Hudson Taylor cared? No. He was following the Lord's direction. And because of him, one of the largest, most effective missionary movements in the world began and still continues today. Why? Hudson Taylor chose to be a disciple. To say, it's not me that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Let me read to you some of the words of Hudson Taylor, if I can find it. He says, if I had 1,000 pounds, China should have it. If I had 1,000 lives, China should have them. No, not China, but Christ. Can we do too much for him? Can we do enough for such a precious Savior? That's a disciple. Can we find any more disciples today? You know, in our world, that there are people who live in certain cultures. If they choose to follow Jesus, that they suffer persecution like you and I will never see. Some of them are kicked out of the family. Some of them suffer severe persecution. Some of them even lose their lives. Up to 100 million people worldwide goes through that. Why? Because they chose to follow Christ and they are kicked out of their families and rejected and persecuted. Why? It's no longer I that liveth. Are they disciples? And why did they do that? Do these people who are going through persecution, do they just want to be respected and honored by us? No. Do they want to just cause confusion and trouble in their family? No. Why do they do it? It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. There's that kind of disciple in our world today. So now let me ask you, and may I say, me, would we dare be a disciple? Now, I went through this whole thing, and I'm not going to give any more challenges, but I went through this whole message today for us just to consider the words of Jesus, who says, if you love anything more than me, you're not worthy of me. So we need to make a decision. Are we going to be disciples of Jesus? Now, I don't think he wants us to hate mother and father because he says, honor your father and mother. I don't think he wants us to hate our kids. No. That goes against the clear teaching of Scripture. But the comparison is, he wants center focus of our lives. And that's what a disciple does. We need to think about that. And then I'm going to ask you just to decide for yourself, along with me. I know this is a little bit heavy today, okay? But you know what? When we look at the teachings of Jesus, we don't need to sugarcoat what he says. We need to look at what he says. We need to respond to what he says. I mean, I know a lot of rich people who are very successful in the world, in their business and things, that are disciples of Jesus, but they love Jesus more than they do their work. And God has blessed them accordingly. But we've got to get that right. Just how important is Jesus to us? That will give direction to our discipleship. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul that gave us such a wonderful example of a disciple. Thank you that he chose to give up his whole life to allow you to live your life through him. Thank you for Hudson Taylor, who did the same thing. Thank you for those countless millions of people in our world today who have also done the same thing, and it has cost them dearly. So, Father, I think all of us are going to have to think about this. We all have a desire to be disciples of Jesus. And we all know that we're not worthy to be disciples of Jesus, and that's a good starting point because we're not. But even you said, Jesus, that nothing is impossible with God. So help us to make that decision. Are we going to be disciples? Thank you for challenging me on this. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please keep this in mind and we'll be done. Disciples are not perfect. That opens the door to all of us. All you have to do is look at the life of the disciples that followed Jesus. It's almost laughable sometimes, because they weren't really some of the sharpest pencils in the box. But you know what? God used imperfect people to do wonderful things, and that opens the door for you and me. So let's be encouraged. Because if we surrender to be disciples, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What a wonderful promise. Please stand. Have a great week, and I'll try to be more exciting next week, all right?